Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just ask for a special impartation this morning to elevate us and to cause us to come into perfect sync with your thinking concerning the fivefold ministry, concerning the office of the apostle, prophet, and all the other offices. We know, Father, we're on the threshold of a new day. And we just thank you again, Father, that you elevate us and you empower us to see things as you see them, and that we might fulfill your plan in this last hour. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Well, this teaching is entitled The Glorious Church, Part 4.
<You're kidding
me. laughs> And I'm going to talk about the ministry of the apostles and the prophets. That's the true apostles and prophets. And how that fits in to God's plan for this final hour. But there's one thing I'm going to have to ask of you, and it's extremely important. That you understand that one of the great downfalls of the second day was, and the first day probably for that matter, was that people developed, with a lot of help from the devil, a definite consciousness of hierarchy. In other words, there was people of God down here and there was people of God way up here. And that was never God's will. You've heard me teach many times about the fact that the Father sees us equally. That's every last member of the body of Christ. Every Christian has to have a revelation of that in their heart, or they're going to fall short in this last hour. It's that simple. Now, nonetheless, after having said that, we also have to realize that God has a divine order in the church. But that divine order is for one specific purpose. And we're going to read the scripture, if you'll turn to Ephesians 4. And that is, of course, to bring us all into the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, that we might fulfill everything that we were created for. Now, that's the absolute principle of divine order. And it's been greatly fouled up in the past. And again, people have maintained that consciousness of being spectators while there are certain people in high places. For a time, that's the truth, except for the fact that if those people maintain a wrong attitude towards God and towards their own responsibility in the body of Christ, then that's what they remain, as spectators. And all those who choose to maintain a spectator mentality in this last hour will be on the outside looking in as the kingdom is established, as the glorious church begins to take legs in the earth. These are the serious realities of the day. And we've heard much preaching on this. And the good news is, though, of course, that as we pursue holiness, as we seek first the kingdom, then we won't be on the outside looking in. We'll just simply be in perfect sync with God and what he's doing in this hour. But as you'll see, as I deal with some things here, we really are coming down to a time of an absolute separation between those who truly love God and those who don't. And God makes no mistakes. Nobody will be except where they've chosen to be. So in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, a familiar scripture, but we'll keep going with it until we actually have a true working fivefold ministry in the church throughout the body of Christ. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith. So it's for whosoever desires the fullness of God's will, and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. That means a revelation of the Word of God to the point where we're walking in the fullness of all that we have in Christ, the fullness of our covenant, that which was established by the blood of Jesus. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Again, all absolute statements. And he goes on, Paul goes on to say, as a result, in other words, this is the goal, this is the purpose of the fivefold ministry, and this is what's going to happen, and I'm going to talk at great length about this today. As a result, we are no longer to be children. Now, of course, we're to be children in the sense that we are to come into an absolute trust of God, in that sense. But he's talking about the immature aspects of children. And carried about by every wind of doctrine, we've seen that in these days, by the trickery of men, again, men who are unrighteously motivated, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. And I'm going to go into that. I'm going to go into the purpose of all true ministry. And but he's talking here about people who are unrighteously motivated towards God and therefore towards his people. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. Again, no more hierarchy consciousness. We have to be a people who realize that we are of equal value in the Father's sight, and that as we pursue spiritual growth, that we will ultimately fulfill everything we were called for, regardless of where we are now, where we've been. Many, many people are going to come into the kingdom in this hour. And one of the great lies of the devil has been that, oh, well, I've missed so many years, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, and how am I ever going to catch up? It's very easy in the kingdom. You can catch up in a split second. You just have to go from an unrighteous attitude to a righteous attitude, and that's going to happen. Again, we're going to look at the third day anointing. We're going to understand the power of God that is going to be available to people to be restored perfectly into his will. And all the years that the devil stole are going to be restored immediately. This is the supernatural element of the kingdom. And this, of course, is where we as Christians have to have our mind at all times in this hour. We're going to see this in just a second. He says in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk." Now, a spiritual definition of Gentile for us today is those without God. Well, we're not to be those without God, so we don't want to walk in that same spirit of the Gentiles. In the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. But that's exactly the opposite of what God has for the glorious church. He wants us to be partakers of his life so that we might be to manifest his presence at all times, in all things. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality. So you're either going to give yourself over to faith in this last hour and love and obedience and holiness, or you're going to give yourself over to sensuality. And what sensuality can be defined as is an inclination towards outward formalities rather than spiritual realities. Very, very important. See, it's coming down. It's an absolute separation. The gap is widening even as I speak between those, again, who truly love God, who truly desire to serve him, and those who don't. And that's going to manifest radically in the days ahead. Okay, I just want to get down to one more scripture here. He says, "But you did not learn Christ in this way," in verse 20, "if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." This is an awesome letter, of course. And the fact is that we need to be renewed in our mind continually to have a righteousness consciousness. And I'm going to touch on all these things, so I won't dwell on this right now. But it's very important to understand the principles that Paul is putting forth in this scripture. And even in the days which Paul wrote this, you can see the absoluteness of God in the statements here and in his desire for the church. So I'm going to cover some ground here today. And I don't know how much I'll deal with each point, but what I want you to get is that God is establishing a true working fivefold ministry. And from that, it's going to bring every last member of the body of Christ who's truly seeking him into the fullness of the ministry that they're called to. And ultimately, the corporate manifestation will be the perfect unfolding of the Father's will for this hour. Again, each member having an equal part in it. If you don't get that, you don't get anything in this last hour, because that's the way God planned it. And it's going to take a total dependence upon God by each individual member of the body in order for the corporate manifestation of God's will to come to pass. Every joint will supply. The joints who don't want to supply will be on the outside looking in. That's the way it is. All right. Through divine revelation given to his apostles and prophets, the Father is going to unfold the depths of his plan for the church in this last hour. He's doing that. And as he does, and the people of God receive all that he has for them, then the religious spirits who for centuries have had their own way, in many portions of the church, shall be brought down by the absolute faith and obedience exercised by all those whose hearts are wholly given to God in the carrying out of his most holy purposes. You see, the only thing that's hindering the advent of the glorious church in the fullness that God desires is the fact that there's still being unrighteous motivation working in the midst of many children of God in the congregations. But God, again, we've talked about spiritual environments, true spiritual environments, is creating environments where his presence is going to come and rest and going to drive out all these religious spirits. And one of the aspects of the ministry of the true apostles and prophets is to drive out these religious spirits. And once these are gone, then people's eyes will be opened, at least those who desire to serve God will be opened, and they will come into that place of abiding in his presence. See, everything I'm saying to you, from talking about the ministry of the apostles and prophets to the fullness of God's plan for the glorious church, is all predicated on individual fellowship with God and perfect obedience in the individual life. And when that comes into order, it sets off a chain reaction, which I may get to talk about today, and causes the rest to come to pass. But without having the foundation of faith, love, obedience, and holiness, there's nothing except religious activity. And that's what God is coming to judge, and judge very, very radically. Judge in such a manner that we can't even imagine it, actually, because it is the fullness of time, and God has done everything in his mercy to allow people the opportunity to enter into that. This is serious business. This isn't a hobby we took up when we became Christians. Once we made that decision, then we were a people that don't have the right to live for ourselves anymore and call ourselves Christians. Everybody has the right to live for themselves, but they don't have the right to live for themselves and call themselves Christians without reaping a very devastating harvest. All right, enough of that. It is the responsibility of God's holy apostles and prophets to bring his people to the knowledge of the fullness of their inheritance in Christ, that is, the fullness of their salvation. It is their responsibility to both receive it and walk in it. And I'm going to deal with that a little bit later when I talk about the third day anointing. But we have to understand that God is sending people in his divine order for the purpose of elevating the people into the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. But it is still the responsibility for them to receive it and to walk in it. Nobody's going to be coddled in this last hour. You know, people are going to hear the truth, and they're going to respond to it one way, in faith or in unbelief. And that's the way it will be. And the way they choose is the position they're going to end up in. Again, the number one characteristic of true apostolic and prophetic ministry is to continually put the onus upon all those they minister to come into perfect fellowship with the Father and his Word. See, it's in that place they receive the necessary revelation to walk where they need to walk, to be positioned where they need to be positioned continually. That's very important in these days. And it always has been, but it's very important in these days because God is establishing some things, and it's very important if one truly loves him to be in the right position. In this last hour, we're going to see the fullness of the offices. We've never seen that before in the church. We've seen glimpses of the offices. And see, the manifestation of the fullness of the offices is going to bring about a manifestation of people being elevated spiritually very rapidly, coming into great spiritual growth, being in a period of great spiritual growth, and remaining there. No more in and out. I don't know if I should say this, but I'm still not sure what my conference message is. If God opens it up for me to share an experience I had, that will take the message up. And you'll begin to see that where we're going is so far beyond the realm of our own conscious thinking, even our sanctified intellect, that it comes down to one simple thing. We need to be a people who come into that place of allowing God to prepare us and remain in that place of being prepared at all times. And he's going to do the rest, because he's coming on the scene to take over. That's the way it is. We'll be in perfect agreement with him, and we'll be the vessels of what he's doing. But he's coming to take over, and he can only use those who are fit to receive the fullness of his presence. Doesn't mean he doesn't love each one of his children equally, but only those who are fit will be used in the way that God wants to use them. It's going to cause a domino effect. Again, as the fullness of the third day anointing comes forth, people are going to be elevated in radical ways, in all the struggles are going to end in the sense that those day in, day out struggles, and one day you're in the Spirit, one day you're not in the Spirit. There's going to be a consistent abiding in the Spirit for those who have allowed God to do the deepest work of the cross in them. Now again, defining apostolic ministry. See, I'm going to talk a bit about the ministry of the apostles and prophets as they go forth. But see, through the impartation of the third day anointing, through the receiving of the anointing, partaking of the reward that talks about in Matthew 10:41, I believe, people are going to be elevated into that place of true apostolic and prophetic ministry. Now, I defined apostolic ministry as simply this: Christ all in all. That's how you define the ministry of the apostle. That's how you define the apostolic ministry, which belongs to the true church, the glorious church. And, of course, the prophetic ministry, just the revelation of God's will, absolute will. So we're going to see those things as the fullness of the offices are released and people partake of those ministries. We're all going to be elevated to a place where we're walking in true ministry. In other words, we're going to represent God the way he desires to be represented. I'm going to read a few words, excerpts from words that God's given me when he was speaking to me on this subject in the past, and then we'll just talk about them at whatever length he desires to. Those whom I have called and anointed to walk in the offices of apostle and prophet hold the keys to the life and success of my children. Now, we've talked about keys before. Keys are simply things to open doors. You know, and again, it's God's will that every one of his children come into the fullness of what he's called them to. And that should be the desire of every Christian, too. Well, you've got the Father on one hand wants us to come into this place. We should want to. Nothing can stop us because he's faithful to begin or finish the work that he's begun. The true apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers shall be seen to have one desire and one desire only, and that is the edification of the body of Christ. There will be no speculations or lofty imaginations toward my word from those who serve me from a pure heart. Again, that's going to lead to the utter devastation and exposing of all that's false, all that's counterfeit, all that's apart from Christ. The beauty of God's plan is that as the glorious church comes to her rightful place in the earth, Satan cannot counterfeit it. He cannot counterfeit that kind of power at all. And he cannot counterfeit true love. He's tried. But people, when they see the living Christ poured out through us and the love of God revealed, are going to be able to tell the difference. Some will remain in rebellion. They'll choose to remain in rebellion. But vast multitudes will drop everything when they understand the love that God has for them. So he's going to devastate and expose all that is false. He's going to use the holy apostles and prophets to bring all true doctrine together in this last hour. We're seeing that. You know, God is actually, it's an amazing thing happening. Those who are seeking true doctrine are being gathered together, and those who are remaining in false doctrine are being gathered together also. And actually, to a degree, it looks like they're prospering out there in that. That won't last much longer. One of the aspects of the anointing that's on the fivefold ministry this last hour is that it shall empower God's people to prosper. Now, what does that mean, prosper? We all have different ideas of that, but if you want to define divine prosperity, it is simply the supernatural ability to meet every need that crosses your path, and in the process, of course, having every need that you have in your service to God met, that spirit, soul, body, and financially. But it's the supernatural ability to be able to meet others' needs. If you are spending all your time meeting others' needs, your needs will be met. One of your greatest needs is to love. And so when you're walking in service to God and obedience to God, it will cause a divine satisfaction to abide in your heart. That is one of the great sustaining powers that we have available to us in the body of Christ. That's why if people live selfishly, they live literally in hell on earth. They may not realize it this time, but that's what it is compared to walking in the kingdom and truly loving one another and seeking to bless. The scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It doesn't mean it's wrong to receive. It just literally means it's more empowering for the kingdom. It's more empowering for us individually to give. Yeah. And then as we do that, then we will receive whatever we need continually. So the if everybody's obedient in that principle, then everything comes to a very high level of love, and everybody's needs are met. Selfishness is a dangerous thing in this last hour. It surely is. Again, in this time, the true sons and daughters are going to be greatly prospered by God as signs and wonders in the earth. First of all, for the purpose of elevating his own people, but also to bless those in the world. As things begin to get worse in the world, many things are going to happen, not the least of which will be, it's happening now, many tremendous financial disasters and things like that. But the church is going to be in a position, in whatever way, to meet the needs of those. And they're going to see that it was God's hand, not us doing things, but God doing things through us. And in that, they're going to see the love of God for them. And many people are going to come in. See, the third day evangelistic effort is just is totally the power of God. We don't have to have plans. We just have to have a revelation in any given moment of what we're to be doing and where we're to be. And God's going to show himself strong. And some people will drop everything to serve him, and other people will run further into rebellion. I don't understand that. But they are going to have the opportunity to come to a place where they can make the perfect decision according to the deepest desire of their heart. I don't want to go there right now, but I just, again, I've talked about it before. We cannot give Satan more credit than he is due. We have to be wary of him. But the Holy Spirit is greater than Satan. So we have to understand that as we operate in the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of love, then we will overcome many strongholds that right now, even right now, look impossible to overcome. We need to get our sights up and just do what God wants us to do, be where God wants us to be, say what God wants us to say, knowing that he will show himself strong. Again, in this hour, part of this divine ability is the ability to know and understand what the deepest need of those who cross our path is. And God's going to do that. And as he does, again, this is how he's going to get through to people's hearts, you know, in supernatural ways. Another aspect of the ministry of the apostle is that the revelation knowledge coming forth from the throne room through the apostles and prophets. And again, I want you to keep in mind, this is a process. Because you can hear a revelation come forth through an apostle or prophet or anybody else for that matter and be instantaneously elevated into that position in the Spirit. And walk from that point, I'm going to deal with that in a bit, and walk according to how or what that means to you and your ministry from that time forth. You know, so the fivefold ministry is there now, but again, not as a hierarchy, something to be looked up to in that sense from the flesh, but it's rather to understand that it's a means to an end. That end being that we're all going to stand on that same level. I shared this before, I'll share it again. You have to have this vision. I saw on a stage, like in an auditorium, I saw every member of the body of Christ standing side by side, hand in hand, arms locked, like that. And God showed me, he said, this is the way I view my people. And so that's the ultimate end. And we have to understand that. And you know, we've heard this preached many times here, the danger of falling under condemnation, falling under unworthiness. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If you're a Christian, if you've been born again, you've been bought with the price, the blood of Jesus, then you are, and sealed by the Spirit, you are worthy in his sight, and that's all that matters. Very, very important. We just have to set ourselves aside from any of this spiritual immaturity that's kept the people of God back from the fullness of what God desires. Because there's, you know, if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. If you sow to the flesh, in your thoughts, in your actions, you're going to reap death, darkness, corruption. You're going to allow the devil to taint the image that God desires to place in your heart of his love for you. And of course, everything I'm saying here is again a means to an end, because we have to have the fullness of God's provision in Christ to overcome in this last hour. This is the reality of the situation. Those who are partakers of God's life, partakers of the divine nature, will overcome in all things. Those who don't will be overcome and fall short of the glory. The glorious plan that God has for them. So the revelation, another aspect of this revelation coming forth is that it will elevate the church to her rightful place. You see, I said I found myself saying this yesterday to a person The fact is that the church is now in control in the earth. It doesn't make any difference what it looks like out there. There is a remnant in the earth who are controlling what's going on in the earth. When the devil tries to do something that's not timing, God uses the church, stops it. When God wants to bring something forth, he has a people that he can speak through and act through that will cause his plan to unfold further. And we're going to see a radical acceleration in this last hour as the true spiritual environments come are refined individually and brought together supernaturally by the power of the Spirit. We have to be ready. What I'm talking to you about is the seasons that we've talked about. And this season is the season of all seasons. This is it. This is the one. People are going to enter into this season or they're going to miss this season. But not without repercussions. It's the way it is. But again, I'm not talking to a people who are not desirous of entering into the fullness of God's will. But there are many out there who are wandering around in a daze thinking that they're walking in faith, thinking that they're walking in love, when in reality their foundation is still built on self-desire. But again, there is going to be an opportunity for them to repent, a very short opportunity. But it will take an absolute repentance and a deep and thorough repentance. It will not be a lip thing. It will be a heart thing. Okay, so that's extremely important, because once the church is in the rightful place, and that is that ascension life, that being seated with Christ in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, then, you see, we're in a position to do some devastation to the death, to death in all its forms. And as we go forth in the earth, see, this is a very practical plan that God has, because, you know, we're not being taken out of the earth right before we do the work. We're going to do the work, then we're going to be taken out of the earth. And consequently, we are going to be the vessels that God uses to crush Satan in this last hour, to devastate him. And in that devastation, many people will be set free from, again, strongholds that seem hopelessly impossible at this time even. And of course, as this revelation comes forth of our proper position in Christ, that's going to cause us to come up to that place above the principalities and powers. Now, I've shared that before. When this conflict begins in its fullness, there are going to be a people here who are raining down upon the principalities and powers, controlling them, throwing them into utter confusion. And then there are going to be the principalities still raining down upon people in the world through utter terror and chaos in their own thinking. And it's going to be a very bad time to be on that lower level in the world. We need to be a people who are abiding in this place. That is the place of overcoming. And then, of course, as this conflict intensifies, the world will see the church in all her glory, because they're going to see the manifested presence of God abiding within us. And, of course, the world is going to be turned upside down. We got a glimpse of it in the early church. We're going to finish the job in this hour. And one of the great final manifestations of that turning the world upside down will be the catching away of the church. Almost unimaginable what will happen, but nonetheless, God will leave an imprint that if people still choose to run further into rebellion, then they'll get what they deserve in that place. But many will repent, even at that late date. God has a series. He's a merciful God. And when this whole thing's over, when the final thing that the Bible's prophesied has happened, nobody will end up except by where they chose to end up. That's the way it is. Okay, another aspect of the ministry of the apostles and prophets is the establishment of the true local church. And again, these are similar. You can link this right in with true spiritual environments, because that's what the true local church is. It's just simply a true spiritual environment. It was never God's will for there to be 20 church buildings, each having a different name on 20 different street corners. One of the aspects, too, that God has planned is that and this is going to happen as part of this radical acceleration, is that God is going to explode on the scene. This anointing is going to intensify. He had me a long time ago begin to talk about his holy apostles and prophets. And I didn't understand that in the beginning, because you figure if there's going to be an apostle or prophet, then they're going to be holy. But he said in the last hour, there would be many, even who are called to those offices, would fall away from that. And in doing so, would begin to operate in their own strength, taking the ball or the revelation they'd received and running with it. There's no room for that in the church, the true church, or the kingdom. So he's going to move them swiftly to the forefront of the local churches by his great and awesome power. And I'm going to talk a bit about this. One of the great aspects of this third day anointing is it will expose everything that's apart from Christ. And you're going to see a practical outworking of that. That's why we must be ready, because we are called to be vessels of that anointing. But it's going to lay everything bare. And it's going to cause a great emotional upheaval in those who are still walking in the flesh. And it will lead to a great rampant emotionalism. Many of us have experienced that in the past. But it will cause people to either repent or run. I'll just read this word. Those of my children who are faithful and obedient in all things shall be looked upon with great awe by the multitudes. Now we're talking again about the manifestation of the glorious church. For my power and my power alone shall rest upon them, and they shall walk in the places I send them with hearts devoid of fear, intent only on carrying out the task which I have set before them. And they shall be viewed as sons and daughters of Almighty God, because they are one with me. And great signs and wonders shall follow them, and through them I shall establish the local church throughout the earth in a mighty and everlasting way. And the everlasting way, he spoke to me, was it will move over into the millennial kingdom, because as we rule and reign with Christ, we will be with the people that we were with in the church. I mean, of course, there's a supernatural element. You can zip off to Jerusalem in a few seconds, I suppose. But the fact is, what God is establishing in this hour is eternal. Everything that God establishes is eternal. That's the way it is. So that's a wonderful promise. I shall raise up many great cities to lead the way in this great hour. And some of these cities shall not be those cities which one might think. The world thinks in terms of quantity and big cities and important cities and so on. When God calls a great city, he defines as those, it's not based on quantity, but rather quality of heart. And because of my holy apostles, entire cities shall fall under the power of my spirit. Never before have signs and wonders such as the signs and wonders which shall follow this last wave of the fivefold ministry been seen in the earth. My holy apostles and prophets shall go forth throughout the land, and people shall see a great light. Now this goes with the cities of refuge. This goes with the true local church. And these things that I speak of shall snowball. I shared the vision about God showed me a little snowball on top of a big hill or a mountain, and he just kind of pushed it over the edge, and the thing started to roll. And you know, if you've ever had packing snow in your hand, you know how that really builds quickly. And as that thing gains momentum, it is going to go bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just going to crash down and impact the world from that high place. And he says, and thus shall my spotless and unblemished church be raised up in this land and throughout the entire earth. Now, another element of this anointing on the fivefold ministry is divine restoration. Now, that's extremely clear. We're going to see such great examples. If you look through the promises throughout the Bible concerning God's plan to restore his people, because he knows there's been a devil on the loose in the earth. He knows the devastation that the devil's caused. But he has also made the promise that he's going to restore the years that have been stolen. He's going to restore things. I've seen examples of this. I've seen examples in my own life. And I'm telling you, there isn't anything that God can't restore. I don't care if somebody's wasted 60 years. God can restore that. It's a supernatural thing, and he's going to do that. And one of the key elements of that restoration, of course, is the outpouring of the Father's love. And he's going to reveal himself. And he's doing that now. These aren't things that are going to happen. These are things that are already happening. But I'm telling you that they're going to escalate to a very radical degree. And not only must we be ready to receive all that God has for us, but with the view that we are going to be used to impart that which he's imparted to us. We've talked at length about the great necessity of knowing and understanding the Father's heart. Many have a very shallow view of God's plan. And of course, this plan is being revealed. It's unfolding. Nobody's going to get a plan and say, oh yeah, this is what we're going to do for the next how many years until the catching away of the church. It's an unfolding. But again, as I mentioned earlier, that's why the key element of true ministry, all true ministry, is to lead people into closer relationship with God. Because it's from that place that they're empowered, that they gain the revelation they need to do what they need to do, instead of looking at other people and trying to figure out what to do. look at Jesus, and God will reveal everything we need. So many have a shallow view. And because of this, because it's so shallow, and yet they have such, maybe you could call it zeal, I don't know, they've formulated a plan of their own, which looks good on the outside, but it's far, far below what God's going to do. And that's why when God comes on the scene with his power, we're going to see some things unfold that no man could ever even dream of accomplishing and shouldn't be dreaming of accomplishing anything apart from him anyways. But of course, that's going to intensify. That's going to expose all the things that are apart from Christ. And one of the great dangers, of course, of not understanding the Father's heart is that when God sends forth his true servants, then those whose heart is not right with God, they cannot receive or understand what's being said. They cannot receive it as truth. And therefore, they cannot receive the blessing, the impartation that comes on that. Now, you have to view the word blessing as empowerment. So everything that's spoken through a true man or woman of God is for our empowerment. Empowerment for what? To fulfill everything that God has called us to do. So you see, the importance of being in totally in alignment with the divine requirement, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, is extremely important, because if people hold part back in this last hour, they will not be in a position to be able to receive. We need to receive that we might impart. We can't impart what we haven't received from God. And if we don't receive something from God, we're going to impart something from the devil. Not consciously, but you're either going to impart life or you're going to impart death, light, darkness, so on. Now, again, as these revelations come forth of the Father's heart, it's going to throw the kingdom of darkness into utter confusion. It is doing that now. Because simply that spirit of wisdom and revelation is going to enlighten people. It's going to remove the ground where perhaps the spirit of confusion or darkness or fear were working in the people of God. And the kingdom is going to become a reality to people. The kingdom must be a reality. It's not some ethereal palace somewhere in the sky. This is a reality. And we're going to see this in the days before we leave this earth. We're going to see a practical outworking of the kingdom in the earth. And that's what God's preparing us for. Again, you know, we've talked about the spirit of the cross. And that is another thing that every true servant of God imparts is the spirit of the cross. Now, what the spirit of the cross is simply the impartation of that spirit which draws a heart to deny it into a place where they will deny themselves, in other words, obedience unto death continually. And as that is practiced, as that is an ongoing thing in the life of a believer, not only does it produce a greater reverence for God with each passing day, and that greater reverence for God produces a desire for obedience, to do nothing apart from Christ. You see, everything that we do in this last hour in obedience to God is by his empowerment. If we had to do this ourselves, and we should have realized this by now, because we fail many times trying to do that unconsciously, but everything is going to be done by his power. It's his empowerment that causes us to walk in holiness. You know, if we could have done holiness ourselves, the glorious church would have happened 2,000 years ago, and it would have been over a long time ago. So we should know that. So the spirit of the cross must be an abiding thing, because the spirit of the cross, which is the Holy Spirit, abiding within us, causes the manifestation of every other element of God's character to come forth. His love, his life, his truth, and all these things. See, the Christian life is not that complicated, but it's absolute. And that's why the thing that's fouled it up in the past is people haven't given their heart wholly to God. And so as long as flesh remains, then the devil remains working in the midst of God's people. But those days are coming to an end in the midst of those who desire to be righteously motivated before God. Again, we talked about, without having this empowerment of God within us, then it's going to lead to hardness of heart. Because the only way we're not going to have that power within us is to move too far away from the Word of God and too far away from that fellowship that the Father requires. I'll just read this word. He said, "Have I not said that it is only close and intimate fellowship with me that will prevent self-exaltation from creeping into one's ministry? Indeed, as I send my holy apostles and prophets forth, every foundation which I call them to lay shall have as its root and source the command for all those who serve me to walk before me and fellowship with me in my presence. It's actually very easy to find out who a true servant of God and a false servant of God is. If you study the ministry, if you study what they say, ultimately it will have some element of self-promotion, whereas all true ministry, it completely and continually puts the onus on God's people to come into that place of fellowship with Him. And it's from that place that the corporate body becomes a reality, and only that place. Again, this hardness of heart, and this really has something to do with the civil war that's about to take place. If people have, in leadership particularly, I'm talking about now, if they've allowed an element of hardness of heart to come in, they will not receive the message coming forth from the throne room in this last hour. The perfect type and symbol, again, is Korah's rebellion. If you study that in Numbers 16, you'll see that, quite simply, Moses went up the mountain, God gave him a revelation of His holiness, he came back down, and said, God requires us to do thus and thus with a view to holiness. They said, why are you exalting yourself over me? We're already holy. You see, and that's the chain reaction that will come about in this last hour. When people's hearts are hardened, they will not be able to receive that which comes forth in the throne room, without exception. Again, we've talked about this before, but the ministry of the apostles and prophets, and all those, again, leading to apostolic ministry, that includes every last member who's truly seeking Him in the body. The words, the actions are calculated to offend everything that's apart from Christ. And I mean, this takes on a supernatural element quite easily, because when you're going forth with your love filled with, heart filled with the love of God, then what you say and what you do, you're doing with the best of intention, and I mean righteous intention, righteous motivation. And you'll be amazed at some of the reactions you get in this last hour. Now, the one warning for us there is, that's why we have to be a people who are rooted and grounded in love. Because if we're not rooted and grounded in love, then there's going to remain within us a fear of what people think. And if there's a fear of what, any element of a fear of what people think in us, we are going to be absolutely useless in bringing forth God's best for those who cross our path. But on the other hand, as we are rooted and grounded in love, then we, you know, there are times when people are going to go, oh yes, that's a wonderful thing. And there's going to be times when people get extremely upset. There's going to be times when people get out of our presence as fast as they can. But nonetheless, it will be calculated, what we do and say will be calculated to offend everything that's apart from Christ. That is really the practical outwork of God's judgment in this last hour. It's happening now, actually, and that's what's causing people to align themselves over there. Oh, I'm a little more comfortable over here. There's no fire. You know, or people who are truly seeking God, got to get in there because I got to be in the fire. But, you know, let's look at the positive side of that. Here's a word He gave me. I have calculated the entire lives of my holy apostles and prophets. Now, as I say that, I want you to see yourself there, because you're all called to apostolic ministry. And so ultimately, that's what we're all going to be manifesting in that time. But He says, I've calculated the entire lives of my holy apostles and prophets to offend all that which is apart from my word. But truly I say to you, I have also calculated their lives to bless or empower greatly all those who seek me and love me. And I'm going to talk a bit about that just shortly here, about the impartation of this anointing. See, whatever God, it doesn't matter what you're called to, whatever God gives you, it's for the impartation of, to bless, to empower God's people. That's why it's such an abomination to God for people to think themselves not worthy. I mean, you can walk into a place, a restaurant, you could smile at the cashier, that may just be the very thing that they needed in that second. That's representing God. Not some great speech or oratory, necessarily, but simply the love of God manifesting through a word or words or actions, whatever it may be. Again, you know, this anointing is going to produce holy fire. This fire, we're going to see the fire of God like we've never seen Him before. To the degree we've never seen Him before. And it's going to cause some things to happen. Things that are out of our control. Our job is to be filled with the fire. He'll take care of where we go and what we say and what the manifestation is. But the one thing it will do is, it will make it very clear what God requires of His people. And it will expose the deceptive schemes of the evil one. And if people want to maintain self-desire, if they want to maintain the strongholds of Satan in their life, then they'll just have to run from the anointing. And that's why the cities of refuge will be cities of refuge, and they'll be well separated, spiritually speaking and physically in many cases, from the outward things. In other words, people just won't come and go. Those whose hearts are wholly given will come and go as God leads. Another aspect of this holy fire, and that this goes with this rampant emotionalism I talked about. Actually, God talked about that at great length with me over the years, and I got to experience it as he talked to me, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. You know, just trying to do what God tells me to do, and people are freaking right out, you know, and at times. But he began to explain it to me. It's the effect of the anointing on the heart that wants to hold on to something. They won't let go, and they'll fight to maintain it. And that's what the Civil War is about. You see, basically, the chief element at the beginning of it is that the true church, that is the remnant that are truly seeking God, are found in the type of Moses there, when Moses was on that mountain getting that revelation of holiness. And then Moses came down from the mountain, and the leaders, that what God called, the Holy Spirit called, men of renown, obviously they had done things for God in the past. But because they'd maintained some form of hardness of heart, when Moses came, they weren't able to receive that. And consequently, when certain people today, certain leaders out there, even now, maybe in the forefront of the church, so to speak, if they maintain any element of hardness of heart, they will not be able to receive the revelation coming forth from the throne room in this last hour. And the unfortunate part of this is many of these people they've been given many very precious people, and their flocks will be scattered. And God will make sure that those people will get to the right spot and get corrected. So now is the time for repentance for any hardness of heart, particularly those in leadership. And he said, great terror shall overwhelm and consume the prideful and arrogant and rebellious hearts in the midst of the congregation. See, when God says that, he's not talking about people who are walking around with fangs coming out of their mouth and are outwardly looking bad. It can be the most subtle thing. It's still a rebellious heart. It's still a prideful heart. It's still an arrogant attitude. It's still unrighteous motivation towards God and towards his people. So when he judges that, it will be seen. The things that look like they're hidden now. I mean, even if the fact that some of them aren't even aware of it, they should be. Because again, what he said, if you'll spend time in my presence, self-exaltation will never creep into your ministry. If you don't, it definitely will. That's the only safeguard against self-exaltation, is to spend time in the presence of God. His light will shine continually into our heart. If it's continually shining in, it's just a matter of disposing and allowing him to burn out the junk. But if you get outside that for any serious amount of time, it's going to cause some problems. All right. The simple fact of the matter is, if we don't receive enlightenment from the throne room in this last hour, we're going to be held captive by Satan to do his will to some degree. And his will is to hinder the advent of the glorious church. His will is to keep the people of God removed from the power of God in poverty. You know, the exact opposite of that divine prosperity I talked about is the inability to meet the needs of the people in your life and ministry, and the inability to receive from God that which you need yourself. So we need to be a people who are abiding in divine prosperity. Another element of true apostolic and prophetic ministry, and again, we're all linked into this together. Jesus came to bring peace, not a sword. So we become a walking threshing machine in these days. Because God is bringing everybody to that point of choice. Choose life, choose death. Choose light, choose darkness. But you're going to choose. And you're going to be held accountable for that choice. And so we're called to be vessels of the spirit of judgment and burning. That's really what I was saying about the fire coming forth. Now, again, we've talked about the importance of revelation knowledge. The fact that we must walk in revelation knowledge. And here's a word he gave me. He said, I did not call my holy apostles to discuss my word with my children. I have called them as messengers, sent ones, that they might receive from me in my throne room and deliver the word that expresses the deepest thoughts and intentions of my heart in any given moment. And again, we talked about the importance of knowing the Father's heart. It's a simple thing. He's perfect. It's a wonderful plan that he has for each of us and corporately. And the fact is we need to be in that place where we know his heart. You know, God spoke to me a great deal about the need for us to have a holy intolerance. You know, if that intolerance, of course, is a no-no word in the world. But in the kingdom, it's not. And we're talking about a holy intolerance. If we tolerate that which we see, which is less than the Father's best or less than in perfect alignment with his plan, then that's going to remain static. Well, what's happened in denominations? They've become static. They've reached a level, and it's that status quo is remaining the same. It's not changing. Why? Because they've plateaued, and they're not going on with God. That's not the way God is. God is continually elevating. And so when we see something that is less than his best, we need to pray, we need to obey, we need to say, do whatever God would have us do in that situation. You know, another thing, we've talked about the importance of trust and how each of us have to come into that absolute trust of God. And it's in having that trust that we of God and right relationship, therefore, with him, that we'll be able to receive the words coming forth from the throne room through his servants in this last hour. If you don't trust God, you're sure not going to trust flesh and blood, especially when they're saying something that is affecting your own plan negatively. See, all these things work together. All of them work together in perfect, what I call a perfect kingdom cycle. And if you get on that treadmill of not fleshly activity, but faithfulness and obedience towards God, then all these things just kick in automatically by the power of God abiding within you. You try to do it yourself, you fall off the treadmill and break something. It's not good. All right. We talked a bit about the impartation of anointing. This is a real thing in this last hour. Just as simply as I can put it, because I don't have a lot of time to explain this at this point, but and I've seen this happen time and time again. You can come forth with some great revelation from the throne room, and you can sit down, you can talk to another member or members in the body, and then they'll say something, and the next thing you know, you're both elevated to a place higher than the initial revelation. That is the third day. That is why the spiritual momentum that will be produced by the revelation coming forth will be so awesome in this last hour. And that's why people who, even though they've maybe put God aside for many years, will be able to come into the fullness of what God's called. You've got to think supernatural in this last hour, or you're going to end up in the natural. That's the way it is. God has a great plan. Okay, I've talked about authoritative prayer. This is an extremely important topic, and I believe the next time I do, I'll just continue on with these things, because I got a whole bunch of stuff here. But this, and that's where I'll start next time. But this whole thing about authoritative prayer is so important. Again, that's where revelation comes in. You get a revelation of the Father's heart. His desires become your desires. You express the desires he's placed in your heart, and you speak them out. And in this last hour, we're going to see things come to pass in an accelerated degree, whether in faith or in fear. You know, I've been there myself. I mean, before I started serving the Lord, my confession was so fearful in all things. And it was powerful because I could always come to the worst case scenario immediately. The deception was that I found out later was that if we come up with the worst case scenario and it doesn't happen that way, we come out ahead. Now that's a little perverse, obviously. But that's the reality of fear. That's the reality of fear. Now, the opposite of that is faith. Having a revelation of God's will, speaking it out with an absolute faith, and we're going to see this radical escalation and acceleration in things coming to pass. We are going to be a church that sees a problem, gets a revelation, and speaks to it. We don't have time for a lot of prayer in this. There's time for intercession, but I'll tell you this about intercession. Intercession now in the body of Christ is moving from an individual standing in the gap, so to speak. We are going to become walking ultimatums of God's will and the manifestation of that will. And that's where third day intercession is going. We're going to stand in the gap by walking right in the midst of the world. And that's the way it is. And of course, that's not to say there won't be intercession as we've known it, because there is a continual bombardment against the principalities going on. And they're faltering badly, I can tell you. I just had a vision. I just see those thrones that they're on, whatever they're made of, I don't know. I like to think cardboard, but they're shaking. They're just shaking like that, and they don't know what to do. And that's part of that utter chaos and confusion that's being imparted by the spirit of faith, the spirit of truth that's going forth in this last hour. So I'll go into more detail on that, and I'll just touch on a few things here to finish up. Again, I talked about divine restoration. We're going to get a revelation of the Father's plan. One of the key areas is family and marriage. That revelation has been so far below what God intended, it's ridiculous. And so God is going to establish a revelation of His will concerning these things. He's going to establish glorious marriages, glorious families. And they are going to do their part in impacting the world, wherever they are, because families are everywhere. I mean, they're in school, they're in the workplace, they're everywhere. So the fact is that that's one area we can really look forward to. And again, I'll continue on next time. Again, we talk about the third day anointing. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. The fact is that God is raising up men and women to impart the revelation of His heart from the throne room. But you see, this is not an intellectual thing, first and foremost. All right? The seed of the incorruptible word goes forth, it goes into the heart of the hearer. It's the entrance of the word that produces light, not the word. The entrance of the word into the heart produces light in the heart. All right, that's important. Entrance is a key word. Because many people hear the word but don't allow it to enter in. And consequently, they remain in darkness. Okay, but in the third day, you don't ever have to be concerned about missing this or missing that or remembering this or remembering that. See, it's the Holy Spirit that brings things to your remembrance. If you're trying to bring it to remembrance yourself, you just better get a big notebook and keep track. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that you need to know in this hour. Where we're going, we cannot possibly operate in our natural mind the way we have in the past. It's impossible. The speed, the acceleration, the sheer awesomeness of what is going to take place in the days ahead far transcends the ability of the natural mind, not the mind of Christ, the natural mind. But when the Spirit, man, is continually, those impulses are coming up from the Holy Spirit, through our spirit, to our mind, we're going to know what we need to know, when we need to know it, by the supernatural power and revelation of God. Understand this. This is why many people will clearly be in that place of being left behind, in the sense, because they're still trying to do it in their own strength. Our strength isn't good enough. Never was. But now it's just going to become evident. All right. So I'll go on to talk about some other things, such as the importance of righteousness consciousness. Again, the divine requirement, breaking down any barriers that people have in understanding the absolute requirement of God to love Him with our whole heart. You know, the absoluteness of God. And lastly, the spirit of truth and the power, the profound effect that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is going to have in this last hour. And again, everything I'm doing and saying here is for the purpose of elevating your thinking, because where we're going, you cannot discern from where we've been. We've had glimpses, certainly, in the early church and through great men and women of God, you know, at times through the in the past. And we're in a good place now. But where we're going is awesome. And I'll tell you, God, Jesus is Lord.